If you have children in your home, or perhaps you're the proud grandparent of little ones, or maybe the favorite aunt or uncle, you've undoubtedly seen those unsavory signs of rebellion that surface very early in a child's life. How do we handle those awkward moments of complete defiance when little ones test our resolve? Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll present one of the most highly requested sermons of the last year. We'll survey Proverbs for practical wisdom, looking for solid counsel on shaping the will with wisdom. Before we hear Chuck's message, we'll begin by reading from Scripture.
Interesting book, Proverbs. Solomon wrote not to preachers so they could preach on it, but to people like us that can use this as a guide for life. We're using it for the purpose of understanding biblical parenting better. And today we're talking about shaping the will with wisdom. To do so, we want to look at a number of the Proverbs. So hopefully you have your hands free so that all you have holding in your hands is a copy of the Scriptures. And let's stand together and turn from one proverb to another for the reading of God's Word. First Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Turn next to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Chapter 15, verse 4. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. Verse 13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Chapter 19, verse 18. Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Chapter 23, verse 13. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with a rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with a rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. Finally, 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Verse 17, correct your son, and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. These proverbs are maxims, pithy, brief statements of wisdom that help guide us into an understanding of what it means to rear our children as God has planned. you will not get this counsel from any other source than you will hear it from the Scriptures.
You're listening to Insight for Living, and you'll find a wealth of creative resources for digging into today's subject on your own at insightworld.org. And now the message from Chuck Swindoll, Shaping the Will with Wisdom.
I was born and reared in South Texas. Matter of fact, from about third grade on, I lived through my adolescence and ultimately into young manhood in the city of Houston. At that time, it was even then a sprawling, enormous city. It was also doing its best to live down a rather unsavory reputation of being the murder capital of the country. The city fathers found that to be extremely painful, and of course it didn't help when they attempted to encourage people to move to the city. And so they began a diligent search to find out where the problem rested. It was a shock to most of us living there that virtually all of the crimes were being committed by juveniles who were 18 years and younger. That was especially concerning to me since I was in that category of age at that time. As a result, there was a massive propaganda program that was launched by both city and police department together, along with other agencies, so that the city would know where they really stood as they attempted to deal with the problem. As this propaganda program began to sweep the city, there were newspaper headlines and articles. There were big billboards that went up along what was called there the freeway, the Gulf Freeway. It came out in local magazines as well as in repeated radio announcements. And it went along this line, sometimes just brief slogans, "Control your kids," it would say. Other occasions, "Parents, take time to train." Another, "Delinquency starts in the home." As a part of this citywide campaign, the Houston Police Department came up with a sheet, which became ultimately a huge poster that found its way across the city. I still remember it. In fact, I have a copy with me today. Sort of reverse psychology, as you will tell by the title. They called it 12 Rules for Raising Delinquent Children. Number one, begin at infancy to give the child everything he wants. That way he will grow up believing the world owes him a living. Number two, when he picks up bad words, laugh at him. This will make him think he's cute. Number three, never give him any spiritual training. Wait until he's 21 and then, quote, let him decide for himself, quote. Four, avoid the use of the word wrong. It may develop a guilt complex. This will condition him to believe later when he is arrested for stealing a car that society is against him and he is being persecuted. Number five, pick up everything he leaves lying around, do everything for him so that he will be experienced in throwing all responsibility on others. Six, let him read any printed matter he can get his hands on. Be careful that the silverware and the drinking glasses are clean, even sterilized, but let his mind feed on filth and garbage. Number seven, quarrel frequently in the presence of your children. In this way, he won't be shocked when the home breaks up later on. Number eight, give a child all the spending money he wants. Never make him earn his own. Number 9, satisfy his every craving for food, drink, and comfort. See that every sensual desire is gratified. 10, take his side against neighbors, teachers, and policemen. Help him understand that they are all prejudiced against him. 11, when he gets into real trouble, apologize for yourself by explaining, I never could do anything with him. And number 12, prepare for a life of grief. You will definitely have it. If King Solomon had been the mayor of Houston at the time, he would have promoted that campaign with great passion. He would have believed it with his whole heart and would have written far more about it, which he has in the book titled Proverbs. I know, you've heard this so many times before, you're tired of the statement, but it's still true. It all begins in the home. For your children, in your home. No school, no church, no police force can resurrect what the home puts to death. We don't do miracles with children, even at this fine church. We take what you provide for us and do our best to build on what you are teaching. But we can't bring the dead back to life if you are killing their spirit or promoting their delinquency at home. Many of you, I would say, frankly, all of you, even all of us, want to be good parents. No one sits on the side of the bed in the morning thinking, how can I be a really bad mother today? Or poor father? It doesn't work like that. We just cultivate habits that lead to that. Because quite likely, we were not trained or disciplined as we should have been. You want to shape the will of your kids. You want to teach them discipline so they will be self-disciplined as they grow up and grow older. You want to keep them under control. You want that. And I commend you. Proverbs 22, verse 15 also affirms you because it tells us foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Interesting. Not in the heart of an adult, though that is true. It begins in the heart of a child. But the verse has another part. It adds the rod of discipline will remove it. What is it? The foolishness. It will remove it far from him. And again, 23, verse 13, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol, which is an Old Testament word for the grave. You literally rescue your child, I take it, from an early grave by disciplining him. I need to warn you also that if you intend to shape the will of your children, like we're going to be talking about in this series of messages, please understand that you will be misunderstood by the majority, and you will run the risk of being reported. Because of our politically correct society, the world now has made the extreme the standard. Because admittedly, there are occasions when there is child abuse, which we hate. But because that's true, then all discipline is abuse. So says our society. Some parents are, in fact, brutal, unfair, inconsistent, and lacking in restraint. Because some go too far in discipline, any form of corporal discipline is considered against the law. Therefore, we must have wisdom in the shaping of the will of our young. Because some are guilty of over-discipline, then all forms of discipline are anathema. It is this kind of thinking and political correctness that results in, hear me well, diplomacy and expediency becoming substitutes for discernment and wisdom. I'll say it again. In our politically correct era, diplomacy and expediency have now become substitutes for discernment and wisdom. Virtually all parental authority is now being undermined by such thinking. And if you're not careful, you will believe it, and you will let that be your guide. Many of you were reared in a world in which I was reared, or close to it. It wasn't uncommon for there to be a SWAT at school when you stepped out of line. In fact, I remember my father sending a note to my teacher at school, "Feel free." I recall coming home and telling of a coach who swatted me in gym, and my dad would say something kind like, "Bend over." When are you going to learn? Great question. There was never brutality. There was never abuse. But there was an intolerance for defiance. That today has gone by the wayside. In fact, I saw a cartoon the other day. A child is on the road with a bag he's carrying, and a fellow pulls over thinking he's lost, and he said, "What's going on, son?" He says, "I'm running away from home. My mom and dad won't mind me anymore." Parents don't mind children. Children mind parents. That's the way it's supposed to work. And I don't care how much you believe the system of our day, I know when I find in this book guidance, I must follow this book. I must follow it. And so should you. May I make a disclaimer, lest any of you think incorrectly of me? I abhor abuse of any kind. I despise unfair treatment. There is no place for any form of discipline that is taken to that extreme. No place for it. I have never and I would never advocate any action that is unfair or abusive or brutal, especially against defenseless and innocent children. Never. Remember the words of Jesus, in case you think I'm strong? Whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it is better that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. It's better to be dead than abusive. Now, all of this brings us to some necessary distinctions. I want to give you two columns to think in as we move through this. On one column, we will start with abuse. On the other column, we will begin with appropriate discipline. I want you to see the difference. Okay, here we go. Abuse is unfair and shocking. Appropriate discipline is fair and expected. Abuse is degrading and demoralizing to the child. Appropriate discipline upholds the dignity and the value of each one. Abuse is extreme. It is brutal, sometimes bloody. Appropriate discipline is restrained and controlled. Abuse causes lasting scars that often move even into adulthood. Appropriate discipline leaves no such scars. Abuse comes from anger, frustration, and impatience. Appropriate discipline is prompted by love and the desire to correct wrongdoing for the good of the child and the good of those he will later encounter. Abuse creates terror in the heart of a child, leaving horrible memories. Appropriate discipline leads to becoming secure and aware of appropriate boundaries. Abuse damages and crushes the spirit, takes the light out of the eyes. Appropriate discipline leads to the child becoming self-disciplined and restrained. Now, there is a difference between crushing and shaping a will. In fact, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13 speaks to this. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit, look at this, is broken. You could paraphrase it, the spirit is crushed. When it's handled well, there is joy and gratitude. When it's handled incorrectly, there is a crushing of the spirit. Crushing means that the spirit is fractured, and a healthy determination to do right is siphoned off and replaced with resentment and anger. Shaping the will is healthy. It's wholesome. It provides an understanding of the child's strengths and makeup and the need to realize that wrong has consequences. Crushing takes away creativity, and other healthy, God-given strengths are destroyed. Whereas the shaping of the will, the child learns that consequences accompany wrongdoing. When the child is crushed, he or she loses direction and becomes resentful. When there is appropriate shaping of the will, there is the cultivation of inner restraints. May I add also a word so that you will all understand that children are children? There are certain normal, childish things that happen that are not defiance. They're just being a kid, okay? Among the normal childishness, we would find the need to learn and to grow and to make mistakes, to forget, to fail, to have accidents, to spill things, milk, water, or anything in a glass on a table. That's childish behavior. They do it.
Shaping the Will with Wisdom. That's the title of today's message from Chuck Swindoll. And you're listening to a special edition of Insight for Living, featuring one of the most highly requested sermons of the year. Find us online at insightworld.org. If you're a longtime listener to Insight for Living, you know Chuck has preached a lot of sermons on the family in years gone by. But today's message represents decades of accumulated wisdom and insight. Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll are parents to four adult children, and now grandparents, and even great-grandparents. You'll find the complete uninterrupted message contained in a collection of six audio CDs or downloadable MP3 files. We're calling it Wisdom for Home and Work, Listener Favorites, Volume 2. Our faith is often tested in two critical areas of life, at home and at work. We believe you'll find these biblical studies helpful, with sermons like the one you heard today. You'll also hear Chuck's message on what to do when you've blown it, and suggestions for parenting grown-up kids. And when you give a much-needed donation to help us finish the ministry year strong, we'd be pleased to send you all six messages. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888, or simply go online to insight.org. I'll repeat our contact information in just a moment. But first, this additional comment from Chuck.
Say, when was the last time you threw up your hands and finally admitted, I can't do it all myself? You know what? God loves to hear us say these words instead. Yes, Lord, I do need your help. See, asking for help is only smart. But it's often pride that holds us back from doing that. The result is impatience, irritation, longer hours, less laughter, no vacations. We came to this realization at Insight for Living many years ago. God got my attention, and we abandoned the false notion that we could handle all the work alone. The fact is,
we're still going strong, and it's because of God's faithfulness and the loyal support from friends just like you. Again today, I need to admit to you, I need your help. H-E-L-P. There, I've said it. As we conclude yet another year of ministry together, we need your help today. I need to hear from you. Our financial goal for June the 30th is overwhelming. And I repeat, we can't do it alone. So since we're in this together, let's go together, okay? We can reach that goal. Let me hear from you today. Thanks.
And here's how to respond to Chuck Swindoll. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Online, go to insight.org. When you give today, we'll say thank you by providing the 6 audio CDs or downloadable MP3 files containing the most highly requested sermons from the last year, including the message you heard today. It's called Wisdom for Home and Work, Listener Favorites, Volume 2. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. Remember, you can follow Chuck Swindoll online and join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter by going to insight.org/connect. I'm Dave Spiker. Hear Chuck Swindoll continue his message about shaping the will with wisdom Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Shaping the Will with Wisdom, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2013 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.